The last few weeks, we've encountered some challenging and even difficult topics based upon the scriptures each week. First, we discussed that as Catholics, we're called to respect and at times even defer to the teaching authority of the church, which Christ established with Peter and the other apostles, especially when it comes to complicated matters of faith and morals. Then I encourage us to avoid becoming or remaining part of what's called the cancel culture, a culture that is antithetical to the Christian way of life and that seeks to silence and to destroy rather than to correct, restore, and renew. And then last week we spoke about how to address conflicts with other people and how to offer them fraternal correction rather than in a way that leads with love and seeks the good of the other, rather than simply avoiding that difficult and awkward conversation and then gossiping about them or harboring resentment towards them instead. Now, none of these have been easy topics, but I think that the topics presented to us in today's scriptures are perhaps some of the most difficult yet, namely anger and forgiveness. Ben Sira, the author of Sirach, our first reading, makes it clear from the very beginning that even though wrath and anger are hateful things, the sinner hugs them tight and often refuses to forgive those who have hurt him or her. He goes on to say that anyone who seeks vengeance towards the other instead of forgiving that person cannot reasonably expect to receive mercy and forgiveness from the Lord. So in short, if you and I refuse to let go of our anger, that anger which is deadlier to our own souls than it is to anyone else, and forgive those who have hurt us, then what reasonable expectation do we have that the Lord will forgive our sins and extend his mercy to us? I think many of us realize the damage that our anger and the anger of those around us has caused, and we'd gladly be rid of it. And yet, Sirach accuses us not only of not wanting to let it go, but rather hugging it tightly to our chest. Why would we hold on to something that's killing us, hurting our relationships, and hurting our society as a whole? I think it's helpful here for us to make a distinction between anger and the deadly sin of wrath. Anger is best defined as a strong reaction to a perceived injustice or at times to unmet expectations. It's a normal and a healthy human emotion that's meant to serve as a warning sign. Some would say that anger is to the soul as pain is to the body. It tells us that something's wrong and needs to be corrected, or we need to stop what we're doing before we get hurt or someone else gets hurt even more. So anger is not a bad thing in and of itself. When it occurs at the right time, the right place, the right intensity or degree, and is under the proper guidance of reason, then it can serve a good purpose. It can be the fire in our bellies that motivates us to pursue justice. And this is why St. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, he says, "Be angry, but do not let your anger lead you to sin." Because when that fire of anger begins to rage out of control and begins to cause destruction to those around us, then it becomes the sin of wrath. And wrath is even stronger reaction than anger. Wrath is not just something that happens to us. It's not just like a blind rage, something that we don't have any control over. Instead, if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that wrath is a freely made moral choice to persist in our anger. Thus, why it's a deadly sin. Because we choose to fuel our anger and then allow it to burn out of control. And because that anger or wrath needs a place to go, we often direct it at a person or a group of people that we feel have hurt us, or are in the wrong, and thus wrath is born. Now at this point, we're no longer rightly motivated by our anger to do the right thing, to restore justice, to defend the innocent, etc. Instead, we just find ourselves lashing out, blaming others, abusing those around us, calling them names, labeling them, etc. At this point, we're more concerned about working for vengeance rather than love. And it's this out-of-control anger, this wrath, that causes Ben-Sira to say, "The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance." Now, Jesus echoes the deadly nature of this type of anger in Matthew chapter 5 when he says, "Anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." It's this severe type of anger, this willful anger called wrath, that keeps us from forgiving those who hurt us. And thus, we keep ourselves from being forgiven as well. So it begs the question, how do I keep my righteous anger from becoming sinful wrath? Well, Ben-Sira gives us the answer, or at least the first step. Stop fueling your anger. Turn off the news or the talk radio. Put down the paper. Get off social media for a time. Walk away from the conversation, etc. Stop replaying the hurtful moment or words in your mind over and over, thus stoking the fire of hurt and anger in your heart as you consider a response. Or perhaps for some of us, just remind yourself that while elections are extremely important and we should take our role as voting citizens seriously, that even after the election, no matter the result, Jesus Christ is still our King. He's still the King of the universe, and he's not going to abandon us. Stop fueling your anger. When you experience those first signs of anger, stop. Stop and ask yourself these questions. Why am I angry? What expectation of mine in this situation is not being met? And is my expectation reasonable? What injustice has been done? And what's within my capacity to do to correct it? How much of my anger is rooted in my own fear, insecurity, a feeling of powerlessness, or just not being in control? The answers to these questions are not always as obvious as we first think they are, but they're extremely helpful to keep our anger from becoming wrath. Think of those first signs of anger like the check engine light on your car. If that light is working correctly, then it comes on when there's something wrong with your vehicle. Now, the light doesn't tell you what the problem is. It can be as simple as a loose gas cap or a faulty O2 sensor, but it could be something far more serious. And the light, the only way to figure out what the problem is then to take your car to the mechanic, to have him hook it up to the computer and to run a diagnostic. For us, when that warning light of our anger is going off, we need to take our hearts to prayer. Let the manufacturer of our hearts be the one to tell us what's wrong and what needs to be done to fix it. Even if your anger is directed to God Himself, that's okay. Go to Him and let Him help you understand not only why you are angry, but what he wants to do to help heal your wounded heart. And sometimes we need even more than prayer to help us deal with these emotions. That's where counseling, spiritual direction, the sacrament of reconciliation come in. The one thing we cannot do is just allow our anger to continue to burn and hope it will burn itself out. Now, the good news in all this, folks, is that as hard as this may be, we don't have to do it alone. We have one another. We have the church. We have the sacraments. We have our family and friends. And just like we can freely choose to be wrathful, we can also freely choose to help one another, to never give up on one another, especially when it comes to dealing with our unhealthy anger. Even more than all of this, we can never forget that we have a God who loves us, a God who is rich in mercy, slow to anger, compassionate, a God who does not wait until you and I are free of every sin and have our lives completely under control before he sent his only begotten Son to die for us on the cross, to break us free from the bonds of sin and death. He did it while we were still sinners. And now he continues to love us, even in our sinfulness. What he asks of us, what he actually commands of us, is to respond to his grace, to allow our hearts to be healed and to be forgiven by him, and then to go and forgive others as we ourselves have been forgiven, to pardon and overlook their faults, to be patient with them, to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful, to be a people who desire the good of others even more than we desire the good for ourselves. So be angry, but don't let your anger lead you to sin. Forgive others, because you yourself have already been forgiven and undoubtedly will come before the Lord to ask to be forgiven again.